congregation is at a wonderful spot. We took all of last year to really focus in on the aspect of family, the aspect of individual responsibility, the cohesiveness of our households. And we spent the entire year on that, and ultimately we came up with the thought of pleasing God. What can we do? What must we do as a man, as a woman, as a child, as the household of the family? How can we please God? And that theme on last year will not adversely affect, rather it will dovetail with the theme and the commitment that this congregation has for the next 5 years. And that is the idea. We want to please God. At the end of the day, our theme, our concept here, gaining ground and growing, but the last one is the linchpin, and that is to glorify God. Everything we do ultimately has the question of, will God be glorified? And that's the idea. We've been praying. We know that we're reminded every now and then of our frailty. No matter how much strength we have, one little flu bug, I mean, he doesn't have to bring his cousin. He can just come by himself. And next thing you know, we're flat on our back, and the Lord has blessed us as a congregation. The fact that Brother Green was back with us on yesterday, we're just so grateful for that. God is able, and we have to keep reminding him to calm down. Don't get too worked up, because we don't want any more hospital visitations, especially in the state of Michigan. And so we're just grateful to have him back. But I noticed that one of our other shepherds was with us this morning. So happy to see Brother Rogers in the back. We've been sending up timber to the Lord, and I'm so glad he heard us and blessed him with the reasonable portion of health and strength to be here this morning. I'm not saying that so you can gather around him, because I'm sure he's tired as well, but just thank God that he's brought him to us this morning. We're so grateful for his presence. Now, I got about 5 minutes left for the sermon. I don't have to worry about Bible class this morning, because Brother Barone Lewis is teaching, so I can, you know, I can talk all the way to 10:30 or so. I'm just kidding. Thinking about tying in last year's theme of pleasing God with the unannounced theme publicly yet of what we're doing for 2015. But wanting to capture, if you will, the thought of last year, and also to mingle it with the position that so many of us have today. We're making resolutions. And if you haven't nailed down all your resolutions, that's okay, because we're still in the first month. Okay, so hopefully if we, take some time to think about it, maybe our resolutions will be that much more clear. But the Bible is filled with resolutions, with vows, with commitments. We participated last evening with a wonderful young couple that after 30 years, they decided to throw a party and celebrate the fact that they have been together for 30 years. And we renewed their vows a week or so ago, just reminding them. I mean, the ink is still on the license, but they publicly made this resolve that for the next 30 years, if God be our witness, this is where we stand. And they're still giddy with one another, still looking at each other with those favorable eyes. And so the idea of resolution is paramount within each of our hearts. We make commitments. We have friendships that are based on resolve. No matter what happens, we are going to be friends. I'm committed to you. You're committed to me, and we're going to work through this. And so as we talk this morning from this idea of resolve, we want to see, next slide, yeah, it's on here. There you go, back up. When we talk about resolve, there's a role for resolve as we talk about this. The resolve helps us to make a firm decision. The resolve helps us to reach a decision. It's the idea of the thought process before I make a decision. It's not just happenstance. Many of us go shopping. And the reason the merchants put all that stuff up by the cash register, because they know that you're going to be standing there. And how many of us have walked out with Snickers and paydays and all of that? We didn't intend to do that before we got there, but we're just standing in line, and that one Snickers was out of place, and we didn't want it to feel lonely. And I ate vegetables last night, and so, okay, I got the Snicker, okay. Yeah. But the idea of resolve gives us forethought so that I can garner my life. I can roll out my life in such a way that it will be for a purpose. Resolve is to have a firmness of purpose. Not something that is going to pass back and forth with the blowing of the wind, but firmness. It is to have determination. I will be determined when I make this resolve. I will be determined to accomplish it. And ultimately, to have a formal resolution. Not something that is happenstance. I'm amazed with politicians and ambassadors, how they're trying to work out an agreement. And many times we see the agreement rolled out. It's a formal declaration. But what we don't see are the months and the weeks and the days prior to that decision, of all the going back and forth and all of the discussions and the negotiations. And finally, we come up with a formal resolution. And that's the idea of how us humans work. Key ingredients for resolve. We're talking about a resolution that pleases God. A resolution that God will be pleased with. A resolution that will be beneficial to us. But it involves determination. As I make a resolve for 2015, I'm going to make a determination. And that resolve also gives me focus. That's the key ingredient in the idea of a resolution. It allows me to have purpose and firmness. It allows me to have decisiveness and a sense of being deliberate. A sense of resolve are the key ingredients, if you will, for this concept of resolve or resolution. There's some benefits, too, to us, brethren, as we talk about making a decision, as we talk about vows, as we're talking about making a pledge, if you will. We know the aspect of a foolish vow, like the fellow who vowed that he'll sacrifice the first thing that comes out of his house. What an unlearned decision, especially when his daughter came out. And so you and I do well to give purpose and thought to our resolve. I resolve that I'm not going to be in the presence of any ice cream. Well, now, wait a minute. You work at Kroger's. Okay, all right, enough said. But one of the beauties about resolve, it provides us focus. It allows us accountability. If I know that I resolve not to do this, well, then if I'm doing it, I'm accountable. I'm responsible for what I'm doing because of my resolution. It provides clarity. That's why resolves or resolutions need to be clear, because I want to have clarity. I'm going to be a good husband. What does that mean? I'm going to be a good father. What does that mean? I'm going to be a good student. What does that mean? Do we have clarity? Being a good husband, I'm going to listen more. Or you get the idea. We want some clarity in our resolutions. It provides commonality. Those that are on certain diet plans, you know how good it is to talk to somebody else on a diet plan. There's some commonality. Everybody knows, if you will, what I'm striving to do. There's some commonality here. It requires selectiveness. If I decide that I'm going to go down this path, then there are bunches of paths out there, but I will select this particular path. Now, you might go down another path. That's your business, but I'm on this path. I allow myself to select the path that I'm going to go down. I'm going someplace with this, if you just bear with me. It allows me to measure, and you to measure our success. If I say I'm going to stop drinking coffee, and then at the end of the week, the coffee pot is empty, and there's no more coffee in the pantry. Can I measure my success? Yeah, but I need a yardstick because I didn't do it. You get the idea. It provides encouragement. If I look and the coffee pot is still full and I didn't drink a cup, I can be encouraged with that. And as a result of that, the purpose of resolutions, especially resolutions that please God, are critical for us. A couple of thoughts this morning. If you turn to the book of 1 Samuel, just to kind of set the stage here a little bit for the message for the morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, you know the story quite well. This is at the inauguration of Samuel as a judge over Israel. He will be the 15th judge. And you know the cycle. The people fall into sin. This is before Israel had kings. The people will fall into sin. God will punish them and send them into captivity. The people will repent and ask God to forgive them. And then God will send a judge. And so now it's Samuel's turn. He is on the stage, judge number 15. So the Bible says in verse number 9, so Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord of Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethcar. Then Samuel, watch this, we're talking about resolve, resolutions. We're talking about putting a stake in the ground. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. When we talk about resolutions, when we talk about resolutions that please God, I think Samuel helps us here. A couple of points, 3 points, and we'll move on to our day. Next slide, please. I think my battery might be low or my fingers are... Okay, yeah, it's a double deal here. Examples of biblical resolutions. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, we see an example of a biblical resolve. Watch what happens here. A resolution is set. A stone is raised, but it's in the midst of opposition. Brethren, this tells us that when you and I make a resolve, the road doesn't have to be smooth. We can resolve in the midst of conflict. If stuff is going on in my life, I don't have to wait till the stuff is over before I make a resolve. In fact, sometimes it's best to make a resolve in the midst of stuff because it's more relevant at that time. But it's also ongoing. What's interesting in verse number 12 of 1 Samuel 7, the Bible says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Another translation says, the stone of help up to this place. It is an ongoing thus. So the resolutions that we make are not somehow etched in the past, but they are ongoing. I don't want to make a resolution about something in history. No, I want something that I can carry with me. And every time they walked past this stone of Ebenezer, everybody knew our resolve and what the Lord has done. He has brought us thus far, and he will walk with us continuing on. How about Joshua chapter 24? You know it well. Joshua, as they are at a very important moment in the history of the Jews, Joshua says, you know, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But I know we normally quote and we say, as for me and my house. But there's a personalness here in that this declaration. Joshua says, as for me and my house. It's a challenging resolve. And resolutions must be challenging. If I'm going to resolve to eat breakfast every morning, and I eat breakfast every morning, that's not a resolve. It has to be challenging. At the end of the resolve, will I be closer to God? Will I look more like Jesus? There's another piece to this resolution that Joshua makes. It has a public aspect to it. Sometimes you and I can resolve privately and secretly, but nobody knows what your resolve is, so we can't tell if you're succeeding or not. But for Joshua, it was public. You all choose this day whom you will serve, but I want it on public record. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And how about in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 11? Watch the resolve of Hannah. Here's one that were desolate so far as having children are concerned. And then all of a sudden, she makes this commitment to God. She makes this resolve to God. If you give me a child, I'm going to give him back to you. So this resolve was personal, but this resolve also for Hannah was lifelong. I will make sure my boy never see a razor on his head. I will make sure I will give him back. It is a lifetime resolve. Some of us have made that resolution. When we step forward and we receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save our soul, we resolved that for the rest of my life, I will be faithful to Jesus. And that's the resolve that many still live under. So what's some lessons here if we're going to make resolutions that please God? Three things I think need to be included. Number one, those resolves must be personal. In Joshua chapter 24 again, verse 15, my personal resolve means my buy-in. We have talked several times over the last course of this year how we all have witnessed someone wanting to date one of the members of the body of Christ. And maybe that's how you got into Christ, so I'm mean no harm here. But they say, I can't date somebody unless you are a Christian, a member of the church. And then they say, that ain't nothing. Where can the preacher meet me? I'll fix that right now because I got dinner plans for us tonight. They don't have any buy-in. So all of a sudden, 2 weeks from now, when they haven't gone to church in 2 weeks, and then you ask them about it, and they observe the Passover, it's because the resolution that they signed up for, they didn't have buy-in. It was your resolution. Paul tells us in Corinthians, don't even give that way. Don't give out of necessity. You resolve because you are making a personal buy-in to that, because resolves are personal. Resolves that please God are personal. So my buy-in is required. How about my commitment? It goes beyond just my buy-in, but I'm going to put the rubber where it meets the road. Watch Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. For time's sake, I'll just refer to it. Caleb says, 45 years earlier, we can take this people. And now all of a sudden, the people of the Jews, they decided, well, no, we can't do that because they're like we're like grasshoppers, and so they didn't. But 45 years, Caleb is 85 years old now. But watch his commitment. He says, I am as strong this day as I was 45 years ago. I'm still committed. Brethren, as we go into 2015, as you make your resolutions, can you say that I'm as resolved today as I was when I first obeyed the gospel? When I first signed up for this marriage, am I as resolved today as I was then? Those are the kind of resolutions that please God. That's what we're talking about. My buy-in, my commitment, my focus. Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 1, and throughout the book of Nehemiah, it's the idea that let us rise up and build. I'm not coming back to Jerusalem. I'm not coming back to Judea for to enter politics. I'm coming back with a focus, and that is to build up the house or the city of God.
And so when all the proponents began to try to pull Nehemiah to the side, Nehemiah says, no, no, I got a wall to build. I'm not coming down off the scaffold. Personal. My buy-in, my commitment, and my focus. My resolve is my resolve. It might overshadow yours. Yours might overshadow. There might be some bleeding. But the reality of it is it mine? Is it my resolve? Is it my purpose? Is it what I'm all about and not what I'm trying to accomplish so far as our jointness together? Must be personal. But secondly, and I think this is critical, it must be God-focused. There's an interesting passage. If you have your Bible, you can turn it over and read it with me. Look at Numbers chapter 14 for a hot second or cold minute. Numbers chapter 14. Watch this resolve, how it involves pleasing God. In Numbers chapter 14, and verse number 15, God is upset with his people, as he tends to get from time to time, with Israel and also with us. But in verse number 15, God has said, I'm going to kill this people, which is my people. And so Moses makes intercession for the people of God, a resolution. But watch closely here in verse number 15. Now, if thou kill all this people, now you, as one man, now you can, God. I'm just saying, if you do, what's going on here? Then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into a land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying. What's your point here? Watch Moses' resolve. He's going to deliver. It's his job, his purpose, his commitment to deliver Israel into the promised land. But they ticked God. They made God upset. You have to know the Hebrew that get ticked out of there. But they make God upset because of their refusal to obey him. And God is about to wipe them out. Now, that kind of affects Moses' goal here, right? I mean, my goal is to deliver the people, and God, you kill all of them. I can't reach my goal. But watch how he resolves this. And it might be some insight for you and me and our resolutions. He says, others will say, God, that you're not able to deliver your people. Wow. I wonder sometimes, when you and I make resolves, when you and I make resolutions, how much of those resolutions glorify God? Well, Ben, are you saying that I can't resolve to lose weight? Yeah, you can. But can you put a glorifying God aspect in there? Can you say that, Lord, with your help, I'm going to lose this 25 pounds? And God, when I do this, I've been on every diet. I've lost thousands of pounds over the last 30 years. But they all have given credit to Atkins, to the Mediterranean people, to Slim Quick, a fast. Everybody gets the glory, everybody gets the credit, but this time, God, because I realize that if I can just lose a few pounds, I might restore my energy, and I won't be too tired to get over the fence. I will have more energy, God, and I'll use that energy for your purpose. I'm going to resolve to eat in a more healthy manner, God. The reason for that is because I understand that if I eat better, maybe the arteries won't get so hard so quick, and maybe I'll live a little bit longer, and maybe I can be like Hezekiah. Maybe I can give you 15 more years. Amen. Service. So I resolve, will they glorify God? At the end of the day, Is it not our whole purpose to please him? To please him. And so Moses says, yeah, I take this pretty serious, that if you kill all the people, I don't have anybody to lead. But God, there's a bigger issue here. If you don't deliver this people, your glory will be adversely affected. I love that thought. I love that. Maybe that will help us a little bit in some of the struggles that we have. Am I saying, God, you know, I've tried this multiple times, but yet you have tried it so that you can get into those suits that you bought, that dress that you bought, that you don't fit, you have to wear a blouse or sweater so you can't zip it up in the back, you know. But maybe, I'm not looking in your window, I'm just making some observations, okay? Maybe the piece that's been missing is what my motivation is. Are we really wanting to get more rest so that we can serve him more faithfully or so that we can watch more late night news or movies? What's your motivation for your glory? Is it God focused? Is it part of his plan? God has profound plans in 1 Peter. You know, he has plans that even the angels desire to look into. And they couldn't understand it because it's God's plan. So I want to make sure my purpose, my resolution is focused on God. I want to make sure that it's in line with God's plan. His purpose is the idea. And ultimately, in John chapter 4, will it accomplish his purpose? Jesus says, my meat. Jesus, we're talking about your mission and you're talking about your purpose and you're talking about all of this. And Jesus said, listen up. My meat, my purpose, what I'm all about is to do his will and to accomplish his purpose. At the end of the day, the best you and I can do is bring a smile to God's face. Will your resolution incorporate that? My meat, will it accomplish his purpose? So it must be personal. It must be God-focused. And finally, and this is something that I think I see in the resolutions in the Old Testament in particular, will it affect others? Let's think about that for a second. My resolution, will others see it? Am I doing it? Am I resolving this so that others can pat me on the back? I don't think that's the essence of what we're talking about here. It is the idea that my resolve is so profound that I can't hide it. Good point in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Cause your light, or let your light so shine that all men may see your good works. Now Jesus didn't say do your good works so everybody can see them. But he did say that, you know, if you're in a dark place and you're stumbling around, bumping into stuff, you know, turn on your light. And if you ever turn your light on in a dark place, you can see, but me standing 12 feet away, I can too. Wow. So my resolve is not just about me. Ultimately, my resolve will have ramifications outside of myself. Joshua will say, as for me and my house. So Joshua, your resolve is affecting your household, but ultimately it's going to affect all of Israel. I think those are good resolutions. When what I'm about to resolve have ramifications in the lives of others, will others benefit from it? Rahab says about the Lord in Joshua chapter 2, in verse number 9, she says, I know the Lord hath given you this land. So I'm gonna hide out the spies. I'm gonna do whatever is necessary, because I know hooking up to you will be the best thing for me. Brother Ted Stewart, longtime missionary in Brazil, spoke Portuguese, a wonderful student. Lord called him home a few years back. Had just a terrible disease that he had suffered with. They thought it was everything, from Lyme disease to pneumonia to. But anyway, but Ted told a story to us. He says that when he was in Brazil, one of their church members, who had not had necessarily a wonderful life, But once he came into Christ, he had a resolve to be the best worker. So he goes to work every day. And he was a faithful worker. And the boss and the business grew, and he was a wonderful worker. And so finally, the owner of the company approached Ted and the other leaders there at the church. And they said, we want to have a meeting. I'm a preacher, so I'm going to have to kind of fix it a little bit here. So they met with the folk from the corporation, the company. And they thought at first, oh, boy, our brother is causing problems. We're going to have to discipline him and kick him out of the church or whatever the case might be. But they said, no, he is the best worker in our company. Now, resolve, will others benefit from it? So they asked Ted and the other brothers. They said, what we're asking, and they were thinking, oh, man, is he want us to, is he going to fire him, and what's going on? They said, no, what we're asking, do y'all have any more people like him that we can hire? Wow, what a resolve, what a testimony to a resolution. This brother resolved to be the best Christian he could and to show forth that resolution. He became the best worker in the factory. So impacted others that they asked, do y'all have anybody else down at the church that need a job? That's a resolution that pleases God. Will others be motivated by it? Are we not motivated this morning by the resolve of people like Nehemiah and Moses and all of these folk? We're motivated. Romans chapter 15, the things written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. So if we're going to set a resolve this year, make sure it's personal, make sure it is God glorifying, and make sure it will affect others. Some conclusionary thoughts here, and the lesson is yours. In conclusion, resolutions that please God, they provide benefit, they provide hope. What are you saying, preacher? If my resolve allows me to have clarity in my life, I resolve I'm not going to go to clubs no more. That's the clarity. That's the clarity. And somebody might say, well, hey, come, let's have a cup of coffee. And you go, okay, where you want to meet? Down at a club. What's the name of one of those good clubs? And you said, no, I'll have a cup of coffee with you, but it'll have to be at Starbucks. Because I have clarity because of my resolve. And the benefit of that, with the clarity, I now know the road that I'm on. I don't have to worry about where the detours will lead me. I'm on the right road because I have clarity because of my resolve. Secondly, it provides glory. If I make a resolve in the midst of my trials and my challenges, you know who's going to get the glory for that? Paul will say, I can do how many things?
All things.
Who got the glory? Paul, you're nearsighted, your eyes bulge out, you're ineffective so far as moving around. People have to carry you around. Or maybe you're overweight. I don't know what the deal is. But he managed to move around, and he managed to do great things in spite of his thorns. Who got the glory? Without God, he could do nothing. With God, he wrote more books by himself than all the other apostles put together because of his resolve. I can do all things. All things work together. No matter what is happening in my life, I know, I believe that God, some kind of way, is going to work all things out for this. I trust that. My resolve is built around that. And finally, it provides encouragement to others. Have you not been encouraged by somebody telling you what their resolve is? Somebody maybe didn't know how to read, and they have a resolve that they're going to learn how to read, and their motivation is so that I can read the Bible. And here you know how to read sideways. You speak two languages, and you struggle with reading scripture? Are you not encouraged? Here's somebody who can't read at all, and they're going to discipline, they're going to resolve to learn how to read so that they can hear the word of God for themselves. Are you encouraged? So as we make resolves, as we make resolutions, as you think about it between now and Wednesday night, as we lay out to this congregation what our purpose and what our focus is, maybe as you think now, this resolution that I'm coming up with, I want it to be mine. I want to make sure it glorify God. I want it to be focused toward God. And I want it to be such that I can say it publicly and it will affect other people. Then when we meet Wednesday night, then you'll walk away with clarity as to the resolve that you can have for this year that will cause you to have a resolution that pleases God. Today's a wonderful day, rainy outside, so you're all already familiar with water. So we take you to the baptistry. It's not something strange to you, okay? So hear the wonderful news. Believe it. Confess that great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And trust in him as I repent of my sin. I go down into the water grave of baptism. Allow his precious blood to wash away all my sins. Maybe you're here and you've been wrestling with the resolve, but now it's a little clearer to you. Now, Ben, I'm ready to magnify God in my life. I resolve to be a good father. And that's a personal choice. I know I didn't have one. My brother ain't a good one. And the neighbor down the street is a horrible one. But I have resolved. I'm going to be a good father. And I think it pleases God. And I think the neighbors as well as my children will be benefited by my resolve. Are you here this morning subject to heaven's invitation? In any way, won't you please come where we together stand and sing the song invitation.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in.
God bless you.
Would you or evil a victory win?
God bless you. God bless you.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the blood,
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power,
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood.
I hope and pray the message this morning has been such that we will add to the resolve, the resolutions that you're currently kicking around or maybe have already come up with. But may those resolutions be yours, personal. When Sarah died and the sons of Machpelah, they offered Abraham a free tomb for Sarah. Abraham said, no. I will pay for it myself. You can't make a resolution for me. Well, you can, but I'm not going to keep it. And I can't make one for you. But let our resolutions be personal. Buy-in, my commitment. And may those resolutions be about focusing on God. Will God be pleased at this time next year? Will it be more pleased with my life? And may those resolutions affect other people. Wouldn't it be wonderful to work with a Christian that has a resolve to be a good worker? It's going to affect you as a co-worker, as well as a boss. You get the idea. May God bless us. May each of us strive to be the kind of people that will have resolves that please God. God bless you. Thank you for your attentiveness. I hope.